In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, conceived without original sin. Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saint Maximilian Kolbe says that Our Lady's greatest privilege is the Immaculate Conception, and that is why when asked by Saint Bernadette to give her name for the parish priest to prove that she was the woman from heaven, she said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." To call forth even more clearly that she identified herself with the greatest grace, the first grace that she ever received from God was her Immaculate Conception. And St. Maximilian Kolbe would always refer to Our Lady not as Mary, but as the Immaculata, meaning the Immaculate One in Latin. And that Our Lady has always had a special pride and in a sense of thanking God for that great grace, and identifies herself with that grace of her Immaculate Conception. That's where her personhood began, at conception. And God, at the beginning of her existence, kept her free from all taint of sin. And how greatly anyone would, you know, be thankful for such a gift. Because we hear in the first reading the consequences of not being in grace. You know, our first parents disobeyed God and brought upon us, you know, to this day we suffer the effects of our first parents' original sin. We all have to struggle with our weak nature, with our weak will, our unruly passions, our darkened intellect, the fact that we suffer and die, the fact that we get sick, that we have conflict, is all a result of the evil one and his tempting our original parents. But even in the midst of that trial, even in the midst of that darkest moment, God gives forth that ray of hope in that he prophesies to Adam and Eve, and in the presence of the serpent, says to him directly, "I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between her seed and yours. You shall strike at her heel, and she shall crush your head." Our Lady has always, probably, you know, that's why the church always turns to Our Lady whenever it is in its, is suffering persecution, or the faithful are under attack, is because Our Lady was already there, prophesied in that first sin of man as a remedy, as a help, as one who would come to their aid, and one who would always be there to defend us from the wicked serpent and his wiles and snares. And it's probably Our Lady is, as St. Maximilian Kolbe also says, why she is also the personification of God's mercy. That all that God wanted to say about his mercy, of course we have that devotion of divine mercy in the image of our Lord, but we have another image of divine mercy. We have the image of Our Lady herself, who is the Mother of God, the Mother of mercy, and as St. Maximilian Kolbe says, the personification of mercy. Everything that God wants to say about reaching out and helping and bringing people up from their low estate, from their misery, is in his Mother, who comes to us at every moment when we are in need. And as she told Saint Catherine Laboure when she gave out the miraculous medal, when she told her to have it constructed, it says, "O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you, to thee." Because that's really our you might say, the first hospital God ever made for people to run to for their sicknesses and their woes is Our Lady. She's the one who will bring us God's grace, who will bring us God's consolation, who will bring us God's mercy. And that is why in the miraculous medal, she is portrayed there with her hands out, and the God's grace, his life is flowing from her hands to give it to us. And sad to say, as she lamented to St. Catherine Labre, we don't ask for it as often as we should or as much as we ought to. That's why St. Maximin Kolbe said, you should always pray every day that you receive the grace that Our Lady wants to give you. That is the most important grace we will receive at that time. Today, as we honor Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, we may need to reflect on our own, in our own lives. Do we turn to her as often as we ought to? Do we run to her and have recourse to her in time of trial, in time of need, not only as individuals, but as a nation? You know, a nation especially consecrated to Our Lady and dedicated to her, asked her to be her patron. You know, we, the bishops of this country, asked Our Lady to be the patroness of our beloved land. So we even more have a greater obligation to run to her who is our patron, to ask her to assist us. And sad to say that in many cases we don't do it as often as we ought to, and especially in these times in which we live, with the devil raising his head in our society in so many ways, and the diabolical grasp that he has on the White House and on our government, we need to turn to Our Lady and ask her for that grace that our country needs. You know, the angel even said in the gospel today, he said that she has found favor with God. Another translation is that Our Lady has found grace with God. Our Lady is always good at finding grace because she's full of it. And we should turn to her and ask her to find the grace that we need in this moment, whatever difficulty we're in, but especially as our nation needs to find the grace, that grace which is the solution to our problem, the solution to the evil that is afflicting us. We should run to her and ask her to crush the head of Satan and to restore God's kingdom. For that is why Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, one of the reasons is God used Our Lady as the foothold of grace in our history. Once Our Lady appeared in the scene in the human history, then God could come and send his Son. She was the beachhead, you might say, on the spiritual Normandy, the D-Day, that God came to redeem his people. And she is always there to restore God's grace. You know, she is there to help and to bring about God's will be done. And we need to ask Our Lady in a special way as we honor her as the Immaculate Conception, and all of us who have consecrated ourselves to Our Lady in a special way, we have even a greater obligation to be instruments of in her hands, to be her heel, to help crush the head of Satan, to help bring about, as St. Maximian's consecration prayer says, to bring about the reign of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. You know, that's what we must all work for. And that, how does that come about? By everyone doing what Our Lady symbolizes and what she is, the one who always did God's will. That's the other great mystery of the Immaculate Conception, that God's will was always the first and foremost motivating factor in Our Lady's life. She wasn't moved by anything else. The Holy Spirit and God's will was the only thing that moved Our Lady and motivated her, that she wanted to do God's will first and foremost. And to the degree that we do that, we will also share in that fullness of grace. We will receive the graces that we need to do and to accomplish God's will. And in all doing that, we will also be most happy. For Our Lady is the most joyful creature God created. Because who could not be joyful knowing that they have been preserved and from all taint of sin and full of grace? That's why if we really want to be the happiest person and to have everything that we need to do God's will first. To the degree that we do that, everything will work out. It's so simple in God's plan. It's we who complicate it. And today, as we honor Our Lady and her Immaculate Conception, let us reflect on doing God's will, turning to Our Lady and having recourse to her, as the miraculous medal reminds us and even gives us the phrase, the little prayer to say to her every day, O Mary, conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.